So what will it take for us to tackle a really turbulent future? The hard smack of a harshly firm government? A new spirit of cooperation? Oh yeah? Or maybe a faith in God? That last suggestion comes from an atheist, this year's president of the British Science Festival, Australian Lord May.
Darwin's theory in its own day had a lot of problems, like the Earth couldn't be old as you needed it to be, and various other technical problems that have all been solved. But one remains, which is that of how you get cooperative behaviour. You know, prairie dogs take it in turns to give alarm calls, and small risk in doing so benefits the community and benefits them too, so that the benefit of giving the alarm calls is much bigger than the small risk when you give it. But it doesn't seem there's a problem until you think about it. It's very vulnerable to the prairie dog who cheats. It literally is a benefit in terms of reproductive success, less likely to be eaten by a predator. You've got the benefit without the cost. How do you maintain it? It's the heart of understanding how our institutions work today when the problems of climate change, feeding half as many people again, and dealing with ecosystem services that we take for granted but which are imperiled by rising rates of extinction and disruption of ecosystems. We need globally cooperative action, and it's even worse than that. It needs to be in equitable proportions. We in Britain need to be moving down in the carbon we emit. China and India need to be allowed to move up, although more slowly than they're currently doing so, so that we all converge in an ideal world on a common figure of 50% of today's emissions globally. And that trajectory, absent an understanding of how we first created the ties that do bind us to the extent they do, is that much more difficult.
And Bob May should know. He was Britain's chief scientist and president of the Royal Society of London, at the heart of policy. So how do we cooperate when we're inclined to cheat and be greedy? How to handle a dodgy future? Lord May.
Now, there's one of these games which is a very good metaphor for what we have to do about climate change. And let me describe in a little bit of detail. You've got, say, 10 people, and you give them each 20 monetary units. And now you're going to play 10 rounds of this game, and in each round you can put in nothing or £1 or £2. And if at the end of the 10th round the pot thus accumulated is £100, everybody gets to keep the money they didn't put in. Now you can see 10 people, the fair thing is each round everybody puts in £1 and keeps £1. So £10 goes in each step, 10 steps, you reach £100 and everybody walks away with £10. What happens invariably is initially some people put in nothing. So you fall below the, I use the cricket image in a way that I couldn't so easily in America, you fall below the run rate. Then people begin to realise and start playing fair, and now you parallel the run rate but below it. And then near the end, people start putting in two units. More than half the time, you narrowly fail. They get to things like 94 or 98, and everybody walks away with nothing. And then interesting versions on this are games of that kind where you announce what everybody did every round. And then, if the people who are, as it were, cheating, you can choose for a small penalty to yourself to inflict a bigger penalty on them. Now, that often, for the northern country, tends relatively rapidly to converge on fair play. But it does require that some people take a cost for punishing, and there are still the cheats who don't even punish. And there are some fascinating studies among countries. One person played this in 16 different cities, and you'll be pleased to know that in Melbourne and Boston and Nottingham, people rapidly converged. But in Riyadh and Muscat, it dissolved into madness, as when people were punished, they, instead of reacting by thinking, what ought I to be doing, they just got pissed off and they punished the other people and just got locked into everybody throwing away their money, punishing everybody.
Is this a metaphor, perhaps, for Copenhagen? Because what we're talking about, essentially, is the deals being done before negotiating climate change and what we have to do. And the disappointment has been, I suppose, for electors, that you approach an election with high ideals and then you watch people in government have to make compromises until almost nothing's left.
Well, and you see that in Britain, where the government, particularly Tony Blair's government, his first party conference speech majored on climate change, and David Miliband really committed to it. They really believe in it. We have legislation that is world leading. But when it comes to the tough political choices, so it is difficult. My conjecture solution, and which can be mistaken for a sort of religious revival, is that the origins of religion were in the highly adaptive character they had of having an all-seeing, all-powerful, all-knowing punisher who was doing the punisher for departures to social norms. And then you created below that a higher, an authoritarian hierarchy that interpreted the wishes of the deity or pantheon. And such structures clearly do bind societies. Over the years, they've softened and become more compassionate. But one of the risks, and there's a fundamental theorem about evolution that says when things change, the rate with which you can adapt to them depends on the variation you have within the population. And there's a tension between being well adapted to the present and being adaptable to change, because the things that make you very well adapted to the present can be inimical to being adapted to change. And I suspect that at the meta level of society, there may be some analogue of Fisher's fundamental theorem that says the ties that have bound us through an authoritarian abstraction who's always looking and knowing,
God,
have rigidities that make them very resistant to change. And it's not impossible that what we're seeing in the world today is not a clash of civilizations. What it is both in the East and in the West, in the United States, in the Vatican, no less than in Saudi Arabia and the Muslim world, in its extremes, is a retreat to a more fundamentalist, doctrinaire, authoritarian, rigid, less compassionate past as a resistance to the forces of change. And that's an unhappy conclusion.
So how do we deal with it?
I have no easy answer to that. In fact, it's not some paradox or trick, this problem of cooperation. It simply is a fact that if you can get away with it, it's in the interest of the individual to let other people carry the burden. So we come to Copenhagen, it's going to be in everybody's interest to agree that we need to be doing things, but think of ways in which it really would be proper if the other people did more than you did. And there's no easy answer to that. And in fact, what this really opens up is a kind of meta-level question in evolutionary theory. My successor as president of the Royal Society, an old friend, Martin Rees, gave a talk in one of the big Darwin Festival things, pointing out that over the coming next two or three decades, astronomy may have advanced to the point where we can make a rough estimate of how many other planets there are in our galaxy where they were suitable for life to appear. And now that opens a fascinating meta-level evolutionary question of, is the trajectory we're on, which doesn't look very hopeful at the moment, it looks like a trajectory that at best is going to go to the world of the cult movie Blade Runner and more likely to Mad Max. Is that a trajectory that any inhabited planet gets as it gradually begins to understand the world, use that mastery to do well-intentioned things, everybody lives longer, everybody has more energy subsidies, life gets better and better, but all of a sudden you realize it's just out of control and there are more people than the planet can sustain, putting a footprint on it that's unsustainable? Is what we're doing an inevitable part of evolution on an inhabited planet, or are we aberrant?
Are we alone in the universe because all the others blew themselves up or just wasted away? Lord May is this year's president of the British Science Association, wondering about that great human challenge, cooperative behaviour.